You're throwing out. If you throw him away, you throw him out of the house, he might never come back. You lost him forever. Yeah, I'll tell the parents what you think. Anyway, but I'll call upon him. I don't know what the answer is. The answer is that you should do everything in your power not to have a rebellious child. So, converts to Judaism or Christianity? That's very beautiful. Do you know 80,000 people, Jews a year, convert to Christianity? Have you ever heard the craziest thing? I heard that recently. Mamish broke my heart. 80,000 a year. You know how many Baal Tshuvas? You know how many Baal Tshuvas come? Maybe 4,000. That's what they say. What source? And intermarry. Forget it. How many intermarry? This way. I heard about 90% of all non-religious people are going to intermarry. Because even though only 50-60% of all people in America intermarry, but that's only because of all the people in Williamsburg and in Muncie who are marrying Jews, all the frum people. But what about just the non-frum, what about just the non-frum people? So the vast majority of them are marrying Goyim. And then people say, so what do you want to do with your life? I want to become a lawyer. How is that going to help the Jewish people if they're becoming Christians? That if you're going to become a lawyer, the answer is that it's easy for me to talk. I live in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. So.
No, but like if your kids like convert, like your family convert, like
my children did convert to Hasidic.
Big step. I work on that myself in the process. Nonetheless.
Bro, Shmuel, they don't dress nearly as nice as you. Not even close.
They don't smell as good as you.
They also have pockets.
Anyway, so
they don't even, you know, we don't even buy the correct shirts with the right on top of them. Yeah.
But anyway, so anyway, yeah. So if your family like basically all
converts,
but,
yeah.
But I mean, they're in bar mitzvah, and some of the kids choose not to.
Yeah.
So do you have to like throw them out of the house?
Do you have to what?
Throw them out of the house.
That's exactly the question that I'm asking. I don't know what the answer is, both in Masi and practically. I don't know what the answer is. If you have kids in your home who aren't good kids, listen, there's no difference between people who are Goyim and people who are acting like Goyim. There's not much of a difference practically. People who are acting, Jews who act like Goyim are just the same as Goyim.
One's over a vera and one's not, you know.
No, but it's still a bad influence.
Right.
Meaning to other people. But you're right, maybe it's not a bad influence because the person will figure they're Goyim. So they're not like me. That's why some people use the svar when they go to a non-religious college. They say, you know, I stay away from those people because I know they're going. But if I go to a Jewish college and then Jews are involved in bad things, then I'm going to get involved with the Jews. They'll be a bad influence on me. So the truth is that the best thing to do, what? Well, it depends what type of going there are. If one would separate from the going, then it would be true. But there are people who like to hang out with the Goyim. And also they like to be accepted by Goyim because Jews for thousands of years have been trying to, many of them, not many of them, but some. Anyway, and then the other problem is that it is true that most colleges where the Jews are going off the derech, they're doing it with Jews. It's like the in thing amongst Jews to do the wrong thing. Whereas, you're right, if you would be separate, like Rosalevichik was in Berlin, then it would mamish be gewaldic. Like Lubavitcher Rebbe in Berlin. Did I ever tell you that story?
Yeah.
He was once sitting. Shalom Harav Khuri. So I was in. He was in. What's it called? This professor gave a lecture in Berlin, and Lubavitcher Rebbe sat the whole lecture with the Gemara on his lap, and he was learning. I also used to read other things during class, but not Gemaras. Anyway, so after the class, the students were discussing the lecture. They didn't really understand. So the Babich Rebbe looks up from the sefer. He explains to them the lecture. And they thought this guy sitting there doesn't know what the heck what's going on, this crazy Jew. He explains to them everything the professor said, and then he goes back to his Gemara. So we see from this story that the Babich Rebbe didn't only learn Tanya, he also learned Gemara. Avada. But you see that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a great genius, which he certainly was, and that is unarguable, whether one is a Lubavitcher or not a Lubavitcher. I'll go upon him, but he definitely stayed separate from the Gentiles in Berlin. And he was a great Gemara scholar, there's no question about that either. I'll go upon him. We learned in the Gemara that worse is a bad influence in one's house than the war of Gog and Magog. Now, what is this Gemara trying to teach us? Let's see. Yesh kan heuda prutis uklulis. There is a general comment here and a specific comment here. We're going to talk what do they say in fancy words? On the micro and in the macro. That's new age, cutting edge. Yeah. הפרט is he שכל אדם אף שיש לו מסנגדים חיצוינים. That every person, even if you have enemies, do you have any enemies, Daniel? Wait until you become president of the shul. אף שיש לו מסנגדים חיצוינים, even if you have external enemies, אויבי נפשו, enemies of your soul, ומבקשי רעוסוי, and those who seek to do harm to you, והכויכויס הטבעים הכלולים, מזגי האווירים, בשינוי הזמן, and not only that, you have your own general natural strengths. What? Mizgei Avirim means your different weather changes and different time changes. Bechol zot einam rabim kol kach l'inyan sheyochlim lefgo ba'adam v'tiksha ashmira mehem kumo misnaget apnimi. But you cannot compare the external problems that you have, changes in weather, enemies, annoying neighbors, all of these external things, you cannot compare with your internal misnaget hapnimi, your internal enemy. Hainu, yitzroi shel udam v'ta'avoysav haros. Your yetzahara? You try to run away from yetzahara? Are you successful? Your yetzahara just changes addresses.
Only if you run to the Beis Medrash.
Only if you run to the Beis Medrash. You know why?
Says that in tradition.
You know why?
Sometime.
You know why? That's another Gemara.
Because the Yetzirah can't affect you.
Because the second you come to the Beis Medrash, the Yetzirah is not interested. He goes down to check out his email. So therefore...
Can you set up a chavrusa with him?
What?
Can you set up a chavrusa with him?
With who?
You're the Yetzirah.
You set up a chavrusa with him?
It feels like it sometimes.
Anyway, Rabbi Isai, so what do we see from this Gemara? So Rav Kook says Gevaldik. Says that this Gemara is talking about worse is a bad influence in your own home. Then what? Then Gog and Magog. So he says you can understand this. Gog and Magog represents external enemies, and in your house represents an internal enemy, which is you. You know, like it says in the Zohar. Svasemis actually says, I think in this week's parsha about Sdom. That if you have 10, you know, we have Ramach Eivarim Mishas Agidim, 248 limbs and 365 sinews. So he said that if a person's doing a lot of averos, but they have 10 tzaddikim in their body, meaning it's like a city, our body is like the city of Sodom. And if you have, the Sassama says, if you have 10 tzaddikim in your body, which is 10 of your limbs or sinews that are tzaddikim, that can save your whole body. But he looks at it, I think based on the Zohar, I'm not sure, but he looks at it as your body is like parallel to Sodom, to the whole city. Because a person's body is like a city. A person's body is, in Kabbalah, they always show how a person's body corresponds to the world. And you even see the world. It says Ein Haaretz, the eye of the land. They often use bodily terms for the world.
How do I know which of my limbs are doing the right things?
Well, you know when they're not doing the right thing.
Like when they're going like this, it's usually the right thing. When they're going like this, it's usually the wrong thing. Anyway, holy Jews. So therefore, he says that worse is a bad influence in your house, meaning in your internal house, than something external. So you have to be very, very careful from your Yetzirah. That's why it says in Hobot Halavavot, everyone needs to learn the duties of the heart. Does anybody go to Rav Weiss's shiur? Doesn't he teach B'chobos Halavavos?
No, he's teaching B'chobos Halavavos.
So in B'chobos Halavavos it says that they once came back from war, and it seems like a nerdy thing to say, but it's the Emes. He says, now that easy war is over, now get ready for the real war, your Yetzirah. As an outside enemy, it's easy to vanquish. You know, one bullet in the head. But your Yetzirah, you put a bullet in his head, like in the cartoons, he gets right back up. He can take a licking and keep on ticking. So therefore,
that's the problem.
Your Yetzirah is more dangerous than anybody outside, if you remember this for life. Because no matter what your external problems are, also problems, your biggest problem is always going to be yourself. Because every problem in life is always how I deal with it. Meaning, let's say a person's sick. So a person gets very depressed that they're sick, and a person can be very happy that they're sick. A person can, celebrate. Baruch Hashem, Yisurim, it's a kapara savonos, and it's making me more spiritual, and it's giving me a new perspective on life. So if a person is happy, then it's not a problem anymore. It all depends on how you take it. There's no objective situation in this world that's bad. There are things that people take hard. It says, you have to make a bracha on the good like on the bad. On the bad, like you do on the good. Which means that the person, I always like to tell the story of the Aderis. The Aderis was a cook's father-in-law. He was a rav here in Yerushalayim. I think he lived on Rehov Misgav Ladach, which is where we just were a second ago. So when he was always on time. He was a very punctual person. But to his daughter's funeral, he didn't come. And they were waiting. His daughter died. He didn't come. Waiting. They waited for him for 2 hours. So finally he came out, and he said, we can start. They asked, what happened? You're always punctual. He said, the Gemara says that just like you make a bracha on the good, you also have to bless Hashem on the bad. And the Gemara says, l'mayin afkamina, l'kabule b'simcha, that you have to make a bracha b'simcha on the bad like you do on the good. And he said, I wasn't able to say dynamis b'simcha. So I worked on myself for 2 hours to get the level of being b'simcha. And then now I am. I made the bracha b'simcha. Now he can start the funeral because I blessed Hashem b'simcha. So therefore, a person who looks at the world that way, that's already levels of tzitzkus that I don't know how easy it is for us to reach. But if a person can look at the world that way, then he doesn't really have any problems. Most of our problems are self-inflicted. So therefore, we just have to know what the proper perspective is, obviously including myself.
It's like we're saying with colleges, with psychologists. If you're in a psychic college, if you're saying with the goy, you're going to stay away from them. Well, that's going to be the external battle. But if you go with Jews, then it's cholesterol, arim, zelzeh, so you actually are fighting with internal battles.
Well, what he's talking about now is not, for him, internal means yourself.
Yeah, so other people are yourself, too, in that concept.
In that concept, other people are yourself. Maybe you see them as your friends, and therefore you have to you want to follow them. Fine. And everybody's enemy is in their side. Everybody's enemy is inside of themselves. You are your own worst enemy, as they say in English. Now that is the Hara Pratis, that your internal enemy is worse than any external enemy. Now what else is this Gemara teaching us on a general level? B'chal Yisrael, sheyoter mima shehereu lanu oyvenu achitzoniim, more than our external enemies have did to us, hereu lanu otan tarbuyot ra'ot, have done evil to us, those internal bad cultures, Ha'erev Rav, the mixed multitude, that evil mixed multitude, Ve'abai mikoicha mechol dor vador, and those that come from them. In every generation has an Erev Rav. They learn from the Gra that the Israeli government is the Erev Rav. There's a Gra like that, where he talks about how the Erev Rav, before Mashiach is going to come, are going to be the leaders of the Jewish people. That's what he said. So
that's what the Gezelman knew basically about the government. Like, they're there, Rav.
They're there. But the Gra, right, because the Gra, they like the Gra. I go by on the Gra writes that in what Sefer? I think in his parish on. I think on his Zohar.
When did the Gra live?
When? He died in 1797. The Gra knew a lot of things.
He didn't say the head of Israel, he said the head of the Jewish people.
The Gra shows how the last parsha, how Devarim corresponds to each 1,000 years of Jewish history. And the Gra knew a lot of things. The Gra, you know, he built a golem, but he stopped because he wasn't yet bar mitzvah. Now the Gra was...
What? What are you doing in your room?
So the Haim Am Miyutam. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what I've heard from a gadol. The Haim Miyutam Neged Hamon Leumim Haim Rabim BeEchus Mipnei Echadim Levgo BeYosef. So even though the bad Jews compared to the nations are a minority, there are a lot fewer Poshe Yisrael, Jewish sinners, then there are Gentiles in the world. However, they are more harmful. They are more damaging. Why? Because they can cause more damage. They can make us hate our God in heaven. From the Shechitut, which is the
severing.
Not destruction. They're very
degradation.
Debilitating?
I was going to say debilitation.
I can't give the word. But when somebody's mushchad, it means that he's very evil, immoral.
Depravity.
Because of their spiritual and moral depravity, Yisrael, you're an evil. Ayidei shchizu shel deos. So first of all, they have deos ros because of their evil philosophies and their terrible midos. Their evil midos. So you see this in the, for example, the Yevsektsiya in Russia, which is the Jewish wing of the Communist Party, were worse to the Jews than the Goyim. They were sometimes more cruel than the Gentiles themselves were. It's a story, I mean, there are many stories, unfortunately, like this. One about a Rebbetzin, guys, with a sheitel, married to a Rav, who became a communist, and she used to persecute the rabbis. She would persecute, you know, B'nai Torah, B'nai Yeshiva, sending people to Siberia, just, you know, a shot, like you wouldn't believe. He wasn't from anymore, but people used to be from Yeshiva Bachrim, would sit like us when they were your age, when they were 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, were sitting in the best yeshivas, the biggest yeshivas in the world, steiging away, and, you know, they got swept up in the communist revolution. Back then, it was almost impossible to stand up to that. Like, you know, that was just like the thing everybody was doing. It's like today, telling an Etivari guy not to go to college. You know, whether even people hold it to okay, but saying, let's say there are Rabbanim and Meir Sharma would hold it to Usser, and let's say somebody goes, you know, Rabinowitz goes to one of his Hasidic relatives, and he tells him not to go. So this is Shiva. It's impossible because we're brought up. It's such a strong
influence
and idea. No. I'm just saying that there are certain ideas that we've accepted that aren't necessarily Jewish. That today would be hard for a person not to do when the whole world is doing it. You know, like not getting a newspaper. You know, in America, a person doesn't get the Times, he doesn't get the Post, he doesn't get a newspaper. Like, you tell the person he thinks you're crazy, he doesn't listen to the radio, thinks you're out of your mind. But these aren't necessarily Jewish things, but this is, you know, you get swept up with the wave. You know, there's a wave of the times, and it's very hard to fight it. So the Maisa, that's the Yevsektsiya, and it's been like that also. The Kapos a lot of times were more cruel than the Nazis themselves. And you see many Jewish groups that persecuted, I mean, even the Reform. You know, they were fighting against... You know, they were fighting against the Orthodox, who wanted to, you know, bring Jews in from Europe. You know, he would tell these Reform rabbis, you know, told the American government, don't listen to them. You know, they don't represent Jews, and they were scared it was going to hurt the Zionist effort in Israel. I don't know whatever they were afraid of, but it's been documented that some of the Reform Jews, rabbis, fought against allowing for the emigration of Jews to America.
Reform went Zionist back then.
What?
Reform back then wasn't all Zionists, they were anti-Zionists.
Some of them, in the 1940s already, many of them had turned Zionists.
Before,
in the 1940s. They were anti-Zionists in 1885 when they made the Pittsburgh Platform, so they were anti-Zionists. But as years went along, they became more and more Zionists. So already in the 1940s, they were Zionists. What?
Because the state wasn't from.
Well, that was part of it. And also, I guess they realized that, that's a very basic part of Judaism that they can't do away with.
Nationalism was a craze back then also.
Nationalism was a craze. Well, in the 19th century, the nationalism was a craze. But the Reform didn't get caught up in that craze. But in the 1930s, 40s, already a lot of the Reform were Zionists. And so you see that there are internal enemies. And to this day, our internal enemies, you know, are doing worse. You know, we don't have to fear Goyim, Goyim don't cause assimilation as much as Reform conservative. But Harai, how many Orthodox kids do you see becoming Goyim and intermarrying? Not so many. But it's the holy Reform and conservative that through them, people, or they're not affiliated at all. I'll go upon him. We have to be more careful. I'm not here to talk against Reform and conservative. Most of them don't know better, and they're Tinoko Shinishbu. and even most of their rabbis, both male, female, hetero, and homosexual, all of them don't know any better because they didn't grow it up. They weren't sent to cheder. I always tell my kids, they didn't go to cheder like you. They're not lucky. So lamaisa, we just have to be very careful of those Jews. If you ever meet anybody and you see that he's Jewish, don't say, it's okay, he's Jewish. Because Jews are much more dangerous and more potent than Gentiles, both for good and for bad. And when they're bad, they're the worst. And when they're good, they're the best. But you have to be very careful. Therefore, it says, Gog and Magog is a war. We're going to fight against who? Against all the Goyim. So the Goyim have a big war. Beautiful. Now we can handle. But Tarbus Rab Besoy Shel Adam in our house, in the Jewish people. You have to be very careful about that because those are the Jews. Those are one of our own. And we have to make a separation. And second, the bottom line, Al Kain Iftichanu Yizbarach, the Ezraiv Kibor Silayich, the Asira Kovidilayich, as it says in Isaiah, the Ezraiv Kibor Silayich, the Ashiva Shov Tayich, Kavarishon Aviotayich, Kivat Chilo Avakrekin Yikarelach, Yirat Sedek Kirya Nemana, which means that I will purify you like gold. Like the, what's that word they always use for gold? The bad stuff in gold? Gloss? What's the word?
Flaws?
No, there's something in gold that they always, when you purify the gold, they take something out of it.
Fool's gold? Yeah.
There's always, I don't know.
That chaff.
No. The chaff's with wheat.
Agopanim, dross. That's the word, dross. I will cleanse you, I'll purify you from the dross. And then the Anukach, after God purifies us, Yikare Loch Yirat Tzedek, then we will be called the city of righteousness. So therefore, first God has to cleanse the Jews of the evil, and then we can be called spiritual and pure. Viter.
So if they marry out, then that's kind of like them. Their kids aren't going to be Jewish, so that's kind of being purified in the.
Osadi Gimel. Next page. Turn the page around. Please. So, I mean, people say that the reason there's Aliyah, the truth is, doesn't bother me when I hear that secular Jews move to LA. I'm happy for two reasons. A, because now they're not contaminating the land. And B, in LA, chances are they'll send their kid to a Jewish school. And a lot more secular people become firm in America than in Israel. Now, there's also a chance their kid's going to end up marrying a goy, which also happens, I'm sure. But a lot of secular Jews in America, they feel Jewish. So in Israel, when you feel Jewish, you serve in the army, it's enough for you. But in America, they need a little bit more. So I've met, you know, people, they tell me, you know, they want to send their kids to Jewish school. They send their kid, and there's also better kirib. And also, that, you know, religious people don't cause such a backlash. You know, they don't associate religious people with politics. So they're much more open to it. And Lamaisa, and in America, yeah, America religious Jews are, you know, the government doesn't fight against religious Jews in America like they do here. America religious Jews are a lot more popular. I'll call upon him. So I don't mind when they make Yerida. And they say that Yerida is that's the way, that's today what it means. God will spit them out of the land. That's what God's way of spitting them out. They make Yerida. So there are really two types of Israel today, mostly amongst the secular Israelis. They're either those who made Yerida or those who want to make Yerida. But there are not so many people who love living here. And they still have that Zionist dream. It's unfortunate the Zionist dream died at the age of about 100. And many people are just frustrated, and they said, what do we need this for? What do we need this war for? And terrorism and this and that. So it's hard. A lot of them, it's hard. You know, they grew up here. But to make it in a new country, in a new language, a new culture, it's not so easy. But a lot of them, like, that's their dream, you know, and they envy these Americans. America, what a great thing, you're from America. So we, who lived in America, know that, you know, it only looks good from the outside. But for them, they think, it's the greatest thing in the world. So Lamaisa, that's what I say, you know. We can do transfer, you know, you bring all the from Jews to Israel, you know, all of Muncie and Williamsburg and Borough Park and Flatbush and Rabbi Israel Shul in Atlanta, and you bring them all to Israel. And then, you know, the secular Jews, either they can be Chozer B'Tshuva, or they can go to America and be Chozer B'Tshuva there. And I don't know if it's going to be Machzor them. They'll be all here. But the Lamaisa, I hope Mashiach comes, and that's it. Holy Jews! It says, let's look in the Gemara, please, on the fourth line from the bottom. Al zos yispalel kol chassid eilech al eis mitzel. For this, every chassid, every righteous man should daven to you. Every chassid should daven to you. Le'eis mitzel, to find it in the proper time. In other words, the Pasuk in Tehillim says that everybody on page 38, fourth line from the bottom, every chassid should daven to Hashem for the following thing. What? What should you daven to Hashem for? Pasuk says, this thing, every chassid should daven to Hashem to find.
I'm going to say afterwards what it is.
What? So the Gemara says, no, it says, but just that shouldn't come to me. Some water, very good. You know, you know Pesukim Mishlei by heart, unless you saw it inside.
No, I read it somewhere.
Beautiful. Omer Remi Chanina Leis Mitzel Zu Isha. You should always daven to Hashem for a wife. You hear that? A wife. You should daven to Hashem tonight. Go to the Kaisel and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should send you. Have you ever asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a good wife? I understand. You're going to get married in 2 years, in 3 years, a year and a half, a year. I don't know if you have a, usually if you have a girlfriend. It could be ready in May.
It's already married.
Ah, so you don't have to ask. But you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Shmuel. You ever ask Hashem for a good wife?
All the time. I
asked
for Kadesh.
You
asked
for Kadesh.
Wait, ask a good wife? I daven for Kadesh.
Rabbi Isaac, we have to daven for ourselves for good wives and for our children for good wives. I already davened that my kids should have a good shidduch. I give my kids a bracha on Friday night. They should get married. They should find a good spouse. It's never too early. It's the most important decision you're ever going to make, who you marry. It's going to affect your life more than your job, more than where you live, more than anything. Your wife. It's going to affect the way your kids turn out, everything. Ask the Lord for a good wife. Shneamar, how do we know that la'es mitzo, to find this thing, how do we know mitzo means a wife? Shneamar, mutza isha, mutza toif. If you found a wife, you found good things. You see the word matzah, which the Pasuk in Mishlei uses, also refers to a woman. La'es mitzo, you should daven to Hashem to find this in the right time. Matzah isha, matzah tov. If you found the woman, you found good.
Only if she's a good wife.
What?
Only if she's a good wife, not a bad wife.
Only if she's a good wife.
Just as much as Isha.
I took a nap today. I forgot to say breakfast attire.
You
take a Shana's Keva, it's a big discussion. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes.
You have that idea in your mind.
More than a half hour is probably. It's exactly 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 hours. But if you're around in bed for more than a half hour, especially on your bed.
On your bed or sleeping?
Well, especially on your bed, that's a lot more kevadik than just falling asleep in the base medrash.
If you say, like, beforehand, can you make a tanai when you make a bracha, even if I fall asleep? If it's not possible, can you make a tanai on that?
No, it might not help. You can make it tonight for a carriage. You can say until I go to sleep.
Have you been misguiding like Abba Solomon or something?
Right, for the Evid, Abba Solomon, you learn right after Davin, right after Shmoneh Esrei. Marv.
So I was up for like 20 minutes today.
Nah, on your bed you slept?
Good 20 minutes.
It was a good, because sometimes those little naps. That's why you're not allowed to sleep. That's why you're not allowed to sleep Shana's Aroy outside the Sukkah. According to one shot, even a temporary nap, even to doze,
so it might
you're not allowed to do it outside the sukkah. Why not? Because for some people, a 15-minute nap, a 20-minute nap is keva. For them, that's a real, that's a gezunta shluf. Actually, I heard a shiur the sukkahs. My Rebbe Shlita, he asked, said in the Simcha's basic Shoeva, that.
Am I to hear this, or do I need to make first time?
What?
Am I to hear this?
No, it's fine. He said that he went today, and he was in. Oh, so yes, he says in the Gemara and Sukkah that during the Simcha's basic Shoeva, they would stay up for days on end. Yeah. They'd stay up the whole time. The Gemara says, how can you say they stayed up the whole time? For all of Sukkos, if you say that I'm not going to sleep, guy makes a ned there, you give him malchus and he goes to sleep right away because you can't go more than 3 days without sleeping. So how does the Gemara say? That's the Gemara. That they didn't sleep the whole time, you can't go without more than 3 days without sleeping. So Gemara says they did sleep. What did they do? They dozed off on their friend's shoulder during the dancing. That's what the Gemara says.
It's pretty intense.
So he asked, you'd be allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. They didn't have a sukkah in Arabais. And in the base of Mikdash in the Azara, where they made the sukkah space away, but they didn't have a sukkah. And you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. So how did they sleep outside the sukkah? You're not even allowed to sleep a Shana Saroy outside the sukkah, temporary now. So he said that when he was the yeshiva bacher, he asked his Rosh Yeshiva, and his Rosh Yeshiva said, Rav Avadya Yosef came. So he said, why don't you ask Rav Avadya? And he's in a Chassidish yeshiva. But Rav Avadya Yosef came to give a shir. So he came up to Rav Avadya, and he asked him the question. Rav Avadya said, I already asked that kasha in my sefer, and it's already been dealt with by him, and he started quoting all these svarim that asked the kasha already before him. So, and then he said, Oseg b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Since you're Oseg in the mitzvah of the sukkah space shaveva, so mainly you don't have to worry about the mitzvah being in the sukkah. But he had a couple of kashas on that. He didn't like that terrace. So basically his mahalach was that there's a level of shenas aray. Now shenas aray, why shenas aray? Why shenas aray not, is it aser? Because for some people that little aray is enough like keva. But he says there's something that's even less than aray. Less than aray is that you're not even planning to go to sleep. You just sort of doze. You know, what does a person usually do before he goes to sleep? Takes off his clothes, he puts on his pajamas, he gets in the bed, he straightens his pillow, puts the covers over him, lies, puts his head down, closes his eyes, and goes up to sleep. That's a shame. Even if you're sitting on a bus, you know, put all your books away, you know, your bag, whatever it is, you make sure of this, and you close your eyes, and you start doing whatever thoughts you're going to have before you go to sleep. You start thinking, Shibisi Hashem, Lenegdi Tamid, whatever it is. In other words, you plan, you say, now I'm going to doze for 15 minutes before I get to my destination. But he's somebody who just doesn't even plan to fall asleep. He just sort of, you know, dozes off. That's not even a level of Shana Saroy. That's not what Chazal meant.
Saying even on a plane?
What?
Even on a plane is a problem?
Shana Saroy, I've had
it. No, I mean Shana Keva. Is there such a thing as Shana's Keva on a plane?
Yeah, Keva is usually determined by the amount of time, generally. But also they determine by whether or not you're on your bed. Like at night, even a very small nap, I think it says in Halakha, is considered a Shana's Keva because it's nighttime. But Lamaisa, just sort of dozing like that for a couple of minutes, just on your friend's shoulder, isn't even considered Shana Sarai, because for that, for nobody, that's Kevin. Because it wasn't even like, you know, sleeping is a mice. Sleeping you have to prepare before you go to sleep. It wasn't like nothing was done. You just sort of went off. There are people who can do that. They can fall asleep while standing. There's a Rav Ilson, you know, Rav Ilson's issue. So his wife told about him that when he was in YU, he learned so much. He used to sleep about an hour or two a night. So he was so tired that when he would walk, he would fall asleep in between steps. And then when he would put his foot on the ground again, he'd wake up. So they asked him if it's true. So he told his wife, he didn't deny it. He just told his wife to stop telling the boys stories about him. He didn't say it wasn't true. But that would be considered Shana. Bahara, and also, and why? Because Chazal said that Teshu came to Duru. Yeah, your sukkah has to be like your house. So if you're outside your house, you would allow yourself to just doze without even planning, because it isn't even planned. But usually when you plan to go to sleep, that's just something you do in your house. Do it on your couch, do it in your bed. I go, but what does that have to do with anything? I'm talking about sleeping, yeah.
My brother asked Shayla whether if you're in a shir and you see someone dozing off, you need to wake them up during sukkah. So that fits in well, because they weren't planning on going to sleep because they were in a shir.
Right. He even discussed that in the shir. I think he's talked about when somebody dozes off in the
shir. Yeah,
right, according to that mahalach, it would be mutter. And also according to the mahalach, it would be mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Because now you're always taking the mitzvah of falling asleep during shir. Which is a gevaldik mitzvah.
I love that. 613.
And also there's another shiloh why you wouldn't have to, because the isser is some hold. Isser is not being asleep outside the sukkah. Isser is going to sleep outside the sukkah. Why not Fumina? The famous shiloh
roll out
when you're sitting in the sukkah. Are we talking about the sites, not sukkahs? But there are people who learn Masechta Sukkah even during the year. Let's say you're sleeping where there was not a shiloh in a yeshiva. They didn't have enough room in the sukkah. So there was a boy who was, the boys came up with a great idea. There's a boy who's already sleeping. They'll take his bed, they'll move it inside, and another boy can go to sleep in the sukkah. What's his svar? It's very simple. You have to go to sleep in the sukkah. He went to sleep in the sukkah. Now he's sleeping. He's on us. You can't be mechayev in mitzvahs anymore. When they move him out, he's not responsible for the mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah anymore. He's already gone. You can't hold a sleeping person responsible to do mitzvahs. He's out. So therefore, let somebody else go to sleep. So if you hold the mitzvah to go to sleep in the sukkah, that's fine. He went to sleep in the sukkah. And now he's not chayv anymore to be sleeping. Because that were mechayv you once you sleep, then I'm mechayv your mitzvah. But if you hold the mitzvah to be sleeping in the sukkah, then you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Because once he's already sleeping, he has to remain. But Lemaisa, so here also, once he's already fell asleep, Vaita. What's the other thing? Oh, next. B'ma'arava, kinasiv inish itzisa. In Eretz Yisrael, when somebody would marry a woman, Amri lehachi, they used to say to him the following, Matzah or Motze? They would say to him, Matzah, when somebody would get married. They would say to him, Matzah or Motze? That was it, they would go up to him in Eretz Yisrael. Matzah or Motze? What does that mean? Matzah, did you find Dichsib Matzah Isha Matzah Tov? If you found the woman, you found good. That's a good wife. Motze, what does Motze mean? I find, in the present tense, Dichsib Umotze Ani Marmi Mavaza Isha. I find a woman more bitter than death. As
that was
the famous actress Elizabeth Taylor's nine husbands were heard to have quipped on many occasions. I find my wife more bitter than death. So they would say to Mitzah, meaning Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, past tense, if you found them, good. Or Motze, fine, present tense. I find the woman more bitter than death. So there are many, many pshatim said in this Gemara. But one pshat that I always like is they ask, they say, I, it's Lashon Hara. But you're asking, Matzah or Motze, have a good wife or a bad wife? I don't say Lashon Hara. So the answer is, as from say, that they're not asking him.
They're telling you.
Amri, they tell him. They're giving him advice. Who said tell him? They're giving him advice. You want to have a good wife? Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. If I found a woman in the past tense, meaning you have to know when you get married, that you found this woman, and she's yours. Nothing else to look at, nothing else to think about. Motze means present tense. I'm finding. Are you always looking at your wife to see if she's the right one? Maybe I could have done better. You could always have done better. Nobody goes out with 3 billion women before he decides on his wife. So maybe there's somebody better for me. Maybe there's a beautiful African tribeswoman with a neck the size of a giraffe who appears monthly in National Geographic who will be a better wife for me. Maybe she makes a better, she's Sephardi. So maybe she makes a better, matbuche or some other couscous. Yes, there's other Sephardi delicacies. So therefore, you can't always look and search if I have the right wife. I'll go upon him. That's the day to tell the guy. Once you have her, keep her. Know that she's your wife for life and make the best of it. Rabbi Nassim Amar, Le'es Mitzel Zutara. He has another pshat. He says, what should you daven for? He says, you should daven for Torah. Next page. Tichsiv, ki motzi matzachayim. If you found life, you see that Torah is called mitzia also. Again, it says in the pasuk that you should always daven to find for matzah, le'es mitzel. So what should you daven to find? So the first pshat we saw is a woman. The second pshat we see now is Torah. You should daven for Torah. Shmuel, you ever daven that you should be matzlich in Torah? Beautiful. V'nachem Rabbi Yitzchak Umar la'ayis matzai zumisa. You should daven for death. Daven for a good death.
That I've never prayed for.
There are 903 types of deaths in the world. Shenamar lamus toitzois, toitzois begamachiacha. It says lamaves, or lamus, toitzois. What's the gematria of toitzois? 903. Tov. So let us now see what Moreno has to say on looking for a good wife. Al zeh yispal kol chosid eilecha la'is mitzel ois tzadi gimel ois tzadi gimel la'is amr abchanina la'is mitzel zu isha shenemar matzah isha matzah toiv et mitzel yitachen lefaresh al et achat shemimenu totzeot legoral chayav lekol yamav. What does it mean et mitzel? A time for finding. What's a time for finding? That time of your life that's going to influence the rest of your life. That's going to affect, that's going to shape the rest of your existence on this planet Earth. What is that one critical moment that's going to change more of your life than anything else, that second that you put that ring on that young lady's finger, she's wearing white. Nai, 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 nai. Oh, yo, yo, yo. Yo, 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 yo. So she's sitting there under the thing. She's wearing all white. She's so happy. She's been dreaming about this day ever since she went to MMY. You're standing there wearing a hat. It says in the Chazal, Melech wears a hat, so Chazan should also wear a hat. I wore a hat at my wedding also. Skull hat.
How many gartels are you
going to wear? Oh, Rav Shmuel's going to wear 7 of them.
At least.
And standing there, and your mom is the happiest woman in the world, happiest guy in the world. And you should know that this moment now, when you put the finger on her ringer,
right.
When you put the finger on her ringer, is gonna affect your life more than anything else you're gonna do, more than your job, more than the sports team that you choose to follow, more than the newspaper that you subscribe to, more than the neighborhood you live in, more than your neighbors, more than your friends, more than anything. A wife is the single most important. So that's what decision of your life. So therefore, don't be afraid, guys. It's an easy decision, and you're much too young to make it. But don't worry about it. Nothing to worry about. People do it all the time. Anyway, that's why there's over a 50% divorce rate in America. Anyway, so my dear...
Not among the frum.
What?
Not among the frum.
Among the frum, it's also not so wonderful. But a lot of those who stay married are not so happy. A lot of times it's better. So, what point am I trying to make? So Rav Kook is saying that why is La'is Mitzo for a time of finding? Because he wants to see that time, that finding is not just a finding for now. It's a finding forever. Ve'ein davar kaze ki'im isha. There is nothing like this except a woman, like a woman. There's nothing that is so crucial, so critical, as your choice of your wife. She'im mazmin lo Hashem itbarach isha yafa mispar yamav kfelim. It can double your life if you have a good woman. A good woman, we say, an ulcer is not from what you eat, it's from what eats you. Yeah? So it's the same thing. A wife can literally prolong a man's life. The yuchal la'asok kol yamav bishleimut amitit. And you can engage your entire life in shleimus, in perfection, true perfection. That's what a good wife can help you. Ulehipuchatz v'shalom, and on the contrary, God forbid, al yedei isha ra'a ne'achar hu kol yeteruf hadat. She can drive you meshugana, Rabbi Isai. She can drive you out of your brains. She can just be the most miserable, the most annoying, nagging, horrible wife that the world has seen ever since Jezebel. She was bad, but not bad meaning good, bad meaning bad.
She could dance.
She could boogie. O prisus shall midos rois. And she can, if she has bad midos, if your wife has bad character, oy vavoy lecha. Rabbi say, if I ever have an enemy and I want to curse him, which I don't do because I try not to curse anybody except for terrorists and murderers. I try not to curse anybody else. And I only do it to terrorists and murderers because I hope it comes true. But I try not to curse anybody else. Yes? But if I ever would want to curse somebody, you know what I would wish him? I'd wish him bad wife. That's all. You can have all the parnassi you want. You can have all the good things of this world. But if you have a wife who is bad character, then you are not going to enjoy your life. Nothing is going to help you. Not wealth, not health, not popularity, nothing. Because a bad wife can absolutely destroy a husband and vice versa. As many of the women in the Jerusalem shelter for battered women can testify. Kedivrei ben Sira, as the famous ben Sira says, Isha ra'a, a bad wife, tsara'as leba'ala, is a leprosy, as they translate it today, which isn't true, for her husband. So gentlemen, what do you do when you have tsara'as? You go to the Kohen. So I highly recommend that before you get married, you make many inquiries as to the character of your wife, and don't go based like these Westerners do, just merely on your dates. And, oh, she's a nice girl. She seems nice and she's pretty. So how can a pretty girl have faulty character? Can't be. So therefore, and she's a good student. She's even studying occupational therapy. So anyway, she can be studying to be a nurse, yes? And she can inject you with the poison of of all of anger and hatred and all of the wonderful things that people pick up in this world. So therefore, you should check her out very well and speak to people who really know her. And also, you can bring her. We bring Tzaras to a Kohen, so you can bring her just in case to check if she's Tzaras. You can bring her to a Kohen. Yeah. You can bring her to a Tzaddik, to a Talmud Chacham, and ask her. You know, bring the girl before you get married. I'm serious. Bring her to Rav Bina. Ask Rav Bina. I always tell the guys. I did. I'm kidding. A Kohen is the Talmid Chachamim are doing what the Kohanim do today.
Room of cats. But he doesn't speak English, so we'll be able to figure out.
But I always tell the guys, I was telling the guys in my chug also, that before I got married, I was terrifying, and it makes such a big decision. I'm going to trust myself. What do I know about getting married? When I got married to my first wife, I had never done it before. And I was hoping it would be the only time I ever made that decision. So I didn't know. So I brought her to a few great Torah scholars to get the A-OK. Because they would see things that I wouldn't see. What did I, you know, I was a little boy. What did I know? So therefore, you have to be very careful. That's why in the Hasidic and Haredi communities, the parents do everything for the kids. Because even kids though it wouldn't be so, what's it called? It would, for us, it wouldn't work so well because we, you know, we have a lot of demands that our parents might not have. But b'chol zot, they want to look out just for their, they want to make sure they get a person from a good family who is, you know, was good midos, v'chule, v'chule. And kids, you know, aren't always so, they don't always catch on to all of these issues, you know, problems as much as somebody who has a more objective opinion can. So therefore, Rabbi Isai, we should all be zoche to matze isha, matze tov. Shabbat shalom, v'lehitra'ot. Thank you so much for coming, guys. I appreciate it.